looking around, I don't see any faces that weren't here last Sunday night, so I assume you've all got a lesson sheet, right? You don't have one?
Secretary says mine's in the car.
All right.
And Joe, I was shooting you when you wasn't smiling. You okay?
Me?
Can I borrow one and give it back?
They're on the sheet in the back. They're on the back table over there. Go get you one.
Thank you. He will have to get up and walk anyways.
All right, if you have your New Testaments, the subject is the book of Revelation. Now turn to Matthew 24. I want to continue to emphasize that while I don't have all the answers to everything written in the book of Revelation, I do believe that... I do believe there is enough proof given to us in Scripture that we can understand that the things John wrote about have already come to pass. And if people are waiting for that future fulfillment, I think they have missed their understanding of this book. So why do we want to look at the 24th chapter of the book of Revelation along with Zechariah chapter 14? Because these help us to understand some of the things that Jesus was revealing to us that John is going to write about in the book of Revelation. And if we understand these things, then we'll understand the meaning and how to understand the book of Revelation a lot better. So when you open the 24th chapter of the book of Revelation, I told y'all now, I reverse words a little bit lately, so be patient here. Matthew 24, thank you. All right, when you open this chapter, all right, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's beginning to tell them about things that are going to come to pass, and they are filled with questions that they want to ask Jesus. Who sees three questions that the disciples put to the master? Do any of you see those? I'll help you. Look in verse 3. All right, somebody read that verse for us.
Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all of this happen? What sign will signal your return at the end of the world?"
All right. Now, if you go back to verse 1, notice in verse 1 he tells us, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came up to show them the buildings of the temple. And what does Jesus tell them in verse 2? What's going to be destroyed? The temple. All right. So the first thing that Jesus tells them is the temple is going to be destroyed. And they want to know when. When is this going to happen? Secondly, what will the signs be? When will you come? And when will the end come? So these are the questions. All right. So immediately, people began to jump to conclusions without looking at what the Bible says. And that's what I want us to do. Every time the Bible tells us something, what is the best interpreter of the Bible? Who said that? Very good. Somebody once wrote, if we would but study the Bible will shed a lot of light upon some commentaries. Men write about what they believe or think, and some of them are excellent. But the Bible sometimes is the best thing to help us understand in other parts of the Bible what the scripture there was talking about. All right. So these things are going to happen. Okay? And then he begins to tell them that you need to take heed, for when the things, the abomination of desolation is spoken of by Daniel, you need to understand that the end is at hand. All right, let's go over to verse 14 of this chapter. We're primarily in this chapter starting out by being concerned about the period of the destruction of Jerusalem. All right? So in verse 14, somebody read that verse for us.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end. Okay. Then shall the end come.
All right. Now, does this sound anything? Is there anything in this verse that goes back and refers to verse 3?
Yeah. All right.
So this was a question that they asked Jesus. Here is an answer. When what happens?
The gospel is preached everywhere.
All right. When the gospel is preached to the whole world, this is going to happen before what? Before the end comes. Okay. Well, question. Has the gospel today been preached to the whole world? Ah, y'all don't even agree.
It was preached to the whole world as it was inhabited then.
Now see, Bruce done gone off on a whole different tangent on me. Today, is the gospel sounded in every nation in the world?
Yes.
No. We are still sending missionaries into places today where there are people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. But there are places today where people know nothing about Jesus. All right, now Bruce, part two. Was there a time when this was true?
Whenever Jesus made this statement, the world and the way it was inhabited.
But even in his world, was the gospel ever proclaimed to every creature? There's a deduction. Did Paul ever comment on this? Who said that?
I don't know.
I just said Paul. Okay. Remember, the disciples were told by Jesus to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, am I moving out of range here?
No, you don't put it in the floor.
I did.
Carry away.
Now we got somebody over here helping me. What?
Luke 24:15.
What does it say?
Go ye therefore to all the world.
Okay. Luke 24, Matthew 28. Go into all the world and preach the gospel,
and
right?
Just a couple chapters later, because Luke and Acts are pretty much the same thing.
Written by the same man about a lot of the same things.
Yeah. Acts 1:8 talks about go into all the world preaching the gospel to this country, these people.
And when we read Acts 1, the Bible says there were devout men out of every nation under heaven. Just so happened those were Jews that were gathered in Jerusalem, but they had already been scattered, and they were in every nation of the world. But Paul says, okay, that they had fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. Because he will tell us, and this is your assignment for next time, where did Paul say that they had preached the gospel to every nation under heaven? Not what we read in Luke or Matthew or Acts. But Paul tells us that they had kept the commandment of their Lord and they had proclaimed the gospel to every creature under heaven. Okay, now, have you ever heard this said? If the disciples under the first century, who had no telephone, who had no television, who had no radio, who had none of these mass communication deals that we have today, the only way they had to travel was by foot, by donkey, by camel, or by boat. And yet Paul says they had gone everywhere and preached the gospel. You get this for free. If they could do it then, with their limited abilities, even though, as Bruce said, the world has changed, you've also heard this statement, haven't you? The world is smaller today than it's ever been, in the sense that with communication and so forth. Okay? So if they could do it then, why do you think we don't do it now?
We're too busy with everyday life. I mean,
come on. You're right on target.
Well, I mean, we don't have our hearts where they need to be. I mean, we really need to be spread the word, and we don't do it.
It's kind of like we were talking about this morning. Where's our faith? What do we really believe is important? What do we believe this is? Huh?
Somebody else could do it.
That's right. All right. So, look in verse 14 now. After this is done, he says, then the end will come. Is there a question here?
No.
There is in my mind. Not in the scripture, but there's a question in my mind. The end of what? Well, the millennialist says, those who believe in the thousand-year reign, that this will happen after the end of the thousand-year reign, and then the gospel will be preached to every creature, and then the end will come. Okay? So keep in mind now, I told you before, I'm going to tell you what I believe and try to prove that. The end that is spoken of here, and there is no doubt the 24th chapter of the book of Revelation, of Matthew, will make this clear to us. Matthew is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Okay? So let's look at a little bit more here. Go to verse 16.
What chapter?
Same chapter, Matthew 24.
Okay.
Somebody read that verse for us. Now, when were they to flee from the mountains? Verse 15 will help you.
You see the desolation coming.
So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who?
Daniel.
Who prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem?
Daniel
did back in Daniel 9 and other places. This is a quotation from Daniel. Okay, and he tells them, when you see these signs, flee to the mountains. Question. When did the Jews, or when did the people spoken of in this verse, when did people flee from Jerusalem? Well, here's something you might find interesting we touched on last time. Claudius, a Roman general, laid siege to Jerusalem, as we said last Sunday, with the intent of holding the city captive until it starved to death and was destroyed. But, for some unexplainable reason, there came an order from the Roman Caesar to pull away from the city of Jerusalem. And history records, Daniel has prophesied about it. Luke wrote about it. Josephus talked about it. Pliny wrote about it. That when you see these signs, get out of Jerusalem. Well, when the army withdrew from Jerusalem, the Christians in Judea fled from Jerusalem and went away and were spared from the destruction of the city that occurred when the army returned for some unexplainable reason. Somebody read Zechariah 14, verse 2. That's in the Old Testament. Zechariah 14, verse 2.
For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city.
Okay. Now, Zechariah left no doubt who he is talking about, did he? The destruction of Jerusalem, right? Okay. So what I want you to understand is the prophets of old have spoke in very similar language about literal events that have happened in history. And he called this by Zechariah, God doing what? What was God doing? But he uses the word what? He's going to gather all the nations? Who's going to battle? God. God's going to go to war with them, right? Now, question. Did Jesus ever literally take up swords with people?
No.
Okay, so how could he be said to war against Jerusalem? Okay, how'd he do it? Okay, so my question is, when God says, I will war against thee, how did God cause that to happen?
He uses people, armies.
Just as he did against with the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, nations of old. Okay? God didn't have to literally smite people dead, take up the sword himself, but he used other nations to punish his people.
But there's plenty of examples in the Bible where God did do the punishment directly. He didn't use other armies, he did it himself.
Okay.
And so he does it both ways.
What do you mean both ways?
Well, I mean, he uses other armies to do what he wants done, or he sometimes does it himself. It's like in the Passover when he came through and killed all the firstborn.
Okay.
He did that himself.
Right.
He didn't have some army.
And he could have done that here, couldn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
He
now, was the war that God was going to war against Jerusalem literal or figurative?
Literal.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Okay. When he spoke that the Lord would fight, was that a literal or a figurative statement?
Figurative.
Okay. He may have used outside forces, but he referred to it as if he was doing it because he was responsible for it. He was the driving force behind what happened. All right?
This is like in World War II when they say Roosevelt, you know, Roosevelt destroyed Japan, basically.
Right.
He didn't have it. He didn't do it.
He only gave the orders.
He gave the orders. That's right.
Okay. Look in verse 29 now. Yes, Matthew 24. Somebody read that.
Okay, you just said 29 and 24. Which is
24, chapter 24, verse 29. Okay. Trying to keep y'all on your toes here. Right now, most of my references are chapter 24. Somebody read verse 29. There's a thoughtful statement in it. Okay, what's going to fall?
Stars.
From heaven?
Heavens.
Huh?
Heavens.
From heavens? What else?
The heavens will shake.
What else?
The moon should not be
moon? What else?
Will be darkened.
What else?
Stars of heaven will be shaken.
And what else?
Stars will fall.
The stars will fall. Heavens, moon, and stars. Okay, right? These are going to come before the end, right? Okay. So somebody says, now we know. He's got to be talking about the end of time. No. The subject that the Lord has is prophesying about is the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay? So remember, how many different ways have we talked about that the word heaven is used?
Seven.
We talk about seven heavens? That's literal earthly things. Okay?
He's talking about this and all, but he's not talking literally. He's not literally talking about the stars, the heaven, and the moon. He's talking about, like you said, truth. You touched on that.
Okay, so stay with me here for just a minute on heaven, okay? Remember when we talked about in Isaiah chapter 12, 13, and 14 that Isaiah had taken up a prophecy against the king of Babylon, and he said, how art thou fallen from heaven? He didn't mean where God was, because that's not where the king of Babylon was. Where was he? He was on his throne. He was in the seat of authority or power. And so he fell from that seat of authority. Figuratively speaking, heaven, the place of authority. Okay? And heaven does mean the seat of authority or the place of authority. All right, so with that in mind, here's what he's telling us. Look at the powers. Jerusalem, the temple, the Sanhedrin. Combine those together. Was that the strength of Judaism?
Yes.
So if you shake or cause to fall the city, the temple, and the ruling body, have you pretty much undone the power of Judaism? Okay. Before the kingdom could have its full impact, Judaism had to cease to be. And remember, when Paul went out on missionary journeys, what were the Judaizing teachers doing to the converts? And lead them back to some worship of Judaism, right? Okay. So, see if you agree with this and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. How many of you would agree with this statement? From the teaching both of the Old and the New Testaments concerning the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Would you say that Scripture would lead us to believe that the full length of time from the ascension of the Lord back to heaven after he had been resurrected to the time when he will ascend from heaven is the end? Did I say that correctly? All right. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, okay, from that time until when Jesus comes again, will that be the ultimate end of time?
On earth.
Let me, y'all with me? Do you understand the question? I kind of jumped forward on you here. When Jesus comes back, when he came back from the dead, was resurrected, and went back to heaven, does the Bible teach that when he comes again, that will be the end?
No, there's going to be a judgment.
The end will be the end of time.
Y'all just think I'm trying to trick you.
Earth, heavens will be destroyed.
Okay. Here's what I want you to understand. When the ultimate end of time comes, the judgment will take place after time is over. Okay? Remember what the Bible says? Then the dead in Christ shall be raised. Those that are alive shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Right? Okay? But the world's going to melt with fervent heat. Right? Okay. Now, listen to me. The millennials do not believe that. They believe it goes like this. Jesus came back. Then he'll execute judgment. And then there'll be a 1,000-year reign. Then there'll be a second judgment. And then the ultimate end. You can't do that. You can't take what God says and say, oh, God left this part out in the middle. So we're going to put it in for you. You see? Okay. So that's look at 1 Corinthians 15:25. Somebody read that.
For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet.
Okay. That's a thought-provoking statement, isn't it? Jesus will reign until all enemies are put under his feet. When did that happen?
When he was resurrected.
It hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Turn, somebody flip over. You still got your place in Matthew? Turn over to Matthew 26, verse 64, if you would. Somebody read that verse. Verse 64.
Jesus replied, you have said it. And in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven.
All right. Now, watch out. What did Jesus just say? Number one, he was going to come how? With what?
Power.
Power. Okay? Where was he going to come?
The clouds of heaven.
Thank you. Not to heaven, not to earth. Right? But in the clouds. Okay? That's where he was going to come to, the clouds. Okay? What else is in that verse? What's the last of it? Ah, he was going to be seated where? The right hand of God, right? Okay.
Where are y'all reading?
That's Matthew 26, verse 64.
Okay.
Sounds like he's going to be sitting there when we see him before he comes on the cloud.
Okay.
Am I right there?
That's kind of the way he said it, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay. Let's read that verse again together. Somebody read it for us.
Jesus said to him, it is as you say, nevertheless I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven.
All right. Now, that's what I want you to see. Listen to what he says. You will see the Son of God sitting where?
Power.
He didn't say on the right hand of God. Did he?
Power.
Huh? Some translations will say the right hand of God. Okay? Question. Since Matthew and Jesus here are teaching us about the fall of Jerusalem, we're going to see that that will be plain in a moment as we look at some of these other verses, what he's describing to us. All right. In 1 Corinthians 15:25, The overthrow of Jerusalem would happen when?
AD 70.
Huh? Okay. All right. All of his enemies would be put under his feet. When did that happen?
When he set the right hand of God with power.
Very good. Those two go together, don't they? All right. So, when would you say this happened?
He ascended into heaven.
Well, the only thing he overcame death.
Okay. Yeah, but we're not there yet.
Oh. Okay.
Right now, we're talking about the enemies he has.
Okay.
What I want you to look at here is, if you think about this. All right. When we talk about Jesus and his power, warring against Jerusalem, the things Jesus is concerned about. If somebody said to you, what is the Lord most concerned about, what would you say? If you hadn't thought about that, you ought to.
Everybody be saved.
He is most concerned about men and women, boys and girls being saved. That's his whole purpose, right? That's what he's about. Okay? So, what was standing as a great hurdle in between God and man?
Sin.
Mike, that's always there. Stay with me. And what we're talking about.
The old law.
Judaism.
Yeah, the priest.
We just talked about Judaism is what is pulling multitudes of men away from even those when they were converted. They were still going back to Judaism. Okay, think about this. What stood between Gentiles and Christ?
The Jews.
You're on the right track.
The law.
No Gentile wanted to be a Christian as long as he thought being a Christian meant he had to accept Judaism. Did he? Because what the Jews believe? Or believe? You Gentiles aren't worth anything anyway. We just soon blow you up and look at you. Sound like some religions today? Okay. So when you look at this, the sun, the moon, and the stars had to fall in order for this great enemy that was standing between God and man to be removed. That happened when Jerusalem fell. In case we don't get to this afternoon, we're going to go ahead and say this, and we'll elaborate on it next time. After the fall of Jerusalem, you know what happened? We read in the book of Acts, and we read about the missionary journeys that happened after Pentecost, right? And we sometimes think, oh, this was the heyday, so to speak, of the church. No, it wasn't. You realize that Paul said to those people, almost by the time they got their feet wet from the establishment of the church, that a great apostasy was coming? What was fueling that apostasy?
Judaism.
What?
Judaism.
Judaism. Along with somewhat of the Roman Empire. But look. And if you want to go back and look at history, when Jerusalem fell, the church experienced a growth like it had not experienced ever before. It became sounded throughout the whole world. Okay? So that's what Jesus is telling us. I'm going to fight against Jerusalem, and she's going to fall. And my kingdom is going to do exactly what Daniel told you would happen. What did he tell you his kingdom would, what would happen to it?
It would last forever.
And it would grow and grow until it spread into every nation under heaven. So look at what he's telling us. The kingdom would be preached in every nation under heaven. And that's what was happening during this time of turmoil. Now the end comes, and things will even get better. All right? I think you would all agree that this is true. In the times of old, God descended in clouds. Let me give you some examples. If you haven't read these, let me give you two references. In Isaiah 13 and Isaiah 19, Isaiah will make a prophecy in chapter 13 and show that the God of heaven would come in the clouds to execute judgment upon the Babylonians. In Isaiah 19, he will write that the God of heaven will come in the clouds to execute judgment upon Egypt. So it's not like God hasn't ever done this before, is what I'm saying. And so we should not be amazed that God would say he's going to execute judgment upon the great city of Jerusalem and cause her to fall. In fact, the city of Jerusalem is known as what? She used to be known as the city of God, the city of David. But you know what she was called during the time she was ready to fall? John will call her the harlot city, the scarlet city. Because what had Jerusalem done? She had turned from God. Okay? So, while we're here, referring back again to Matthew 26, verse 64, we read that a moment ago. The coming of the Son of Man in clouds is no different than what is referred to in Isaiah 13 and Isaiah 17. And does not refer to the end of time, but refers to the fall of Jerusalem. The coming that was foretold to Jesus by Caiaphas. Okay? So the Son of Man would come with power and great glory, sitting on the right hand of power. This shows that he would conquer and rule over the enemy powers of Jerusalem, Judaism, the temple, the Sanhedrin, and so forth. Okay. This language that you're reading in Matthew 24 is so similar and sometimes identical to the language that John uses in the book of Revelation that I believe it becomes very obvious that John is writing about what Jesus was foretelling in Matthew 24. Now, the things I have told you are going to come to pass. And remember, John said, when were these things going to happen? Shortly. Soon to come to pass. Okay?
This generation.
Now, Mickey got a hold ahead of me last Sunday, so we're going to stop with this morning or this evening. Look again in Matthew 24. All the things written about in Matthew 24. Y'all remember reading about this? Two should be in the field. One should be taken and one should be left. They'll be on the housetop. One will be taken and one will be left. One will be out plowing. Remember those things? And how many people will tell you, that's the end of time. That's when this is going to happen. All right, Mickey, now you get to shine. What's the verse we need to read, Mickey?
36.
36 of Matthew 24. All right, somebody read it for us. What verse is that?
36.
Mickey, I gave you all the credit. You read the wrong verse.
No.
Huh?
No.
Yeah, you did.
Verse 34, you went
five. I wanted Mickey. I was letting him do this. He was. Okay. Verse 36, listen to me, has nothing to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. What do you think, Mickey? You know how I know that? Because RB's going to read verse 34. Read it.
Glad I volunteered. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
Okay.
But now there's some very old people out there.
So you read everything written in the first 33 verses of Matthew 24, and Jesus says, everything that's written about in that chapter is going to take place when?
The current generation.
That generation was alive. Okay? He was talking to them at that time. Okay? I dare people claim to be students of the Bible, be teachers of truth, and care about people's souls, and tell me that Matthew 24 is about the end of time. Because Jesus said that's not true. And I don't know about you, but that upsets me when people who claim to know the Bible. Can you understand verse 34? How many of you can understand that verse? You may not understand all the signs of Matthew 24, but did Matthew 24 tell you that Jesus was informing us that everything written up till now in this chapter is past? Because as RB said, none of them are alive today. Okay. Had to happen, but notice, it didn't even happen when they were dead. It was to happen while they were alive. Right? Mickey?
I just question that everything from 34 back to Jerusalem. We go to 36, he's talking about the end of time. Right? Would everything 36 on, is that still speaking of the end of time? Is this kind of like a break in there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember the questions.
When will the end of time be? That was the third question.
Remember the questions he had asked them.
Okay.
When will this happen, this happen, and this happen? Okay. All right. When are these signs going to happen? When will the end happen? Okay. Now, question. Here's the big question to end with right now. Did Jesus come in the destruction of Jerusalem?
No.
Thank you. What was my question?
Did Jesus come in the destruction of
Jerusalem? I didn't say did he come to earth.
You should clarify your question.
No, that was said on purpose. Because what I want you to see is every one of us has been conditioned by what we have heard people say. Okay? And immediately we assume that we've got to either have a disclaimer or we don't know what somebody meant. The statement was, did Jesus come in the destruction of Jerusalem? He said he was coming. Said he was going to fight against them. But he came in power in the heavens or the clouds. He didn't set foot on earth. Okay? Now.
Okay. So Mickey said from 36 on.
Now there y'all. Just leave that alone now. Just leave that alone. Okay?
The teacher.
Don't get ahead. We're getting there. Okay? I want to end with this. Okay, listen to this thought as we end. For people to tell me that Jesus was talking about the end of time in Matthew 24, or in the book of Revelation. Have you ever heard people say this? Why, John was writing in the book of Revelation about the history of the Latin church. You ever heard that? Oh. That's because most of us are too old to remember the power of the Latin church. But guess what? There were people who said, oh, the book of Revelation is about the Latin church. Okay? Others came along when that time came and said, oh, Revelation's been fulfilled. It's about the Dark Ages. Then people began to say, oh, well, and I'll give you this thought. You remember, how many of you are old enough to remember, oh, what was it, late 40s, 50s, when all the people were going up on the mountains waiting for the Lord to come? Okay. This isn't anything new. People have been doing this for ages. So think about this. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, Jerusalem is about the destruction that's going to take place over North America? That God is going to exercise his vengeance on America?
Is that the woman?
Yep. You know, I hear a lot of people say that, you know, that the United States is the new Jerusalem.
Others say, no, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the United Nations. A lot of modern preachers today are saying that the enemy that Revelation is talking about is the United Nations. Others have even gone on to say, no, he's actually talking about the Pope. He's talking about Martin Luther. He's talking about Alexander Campbell. When you want to, you can find an enemy anywhere. If you want to.
Just like your horoscope.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Here's what I want you to remember. All these people who have come along through the ages and said, we saw, we know when Revelation is going to be fulfilled. Today, are there people telling you that they know when Revelation is going to be fulfilled?
Yes.
Every day, if you listen to them.
We had one about, what, 7, 8 years ago when that big caravan was going around the country, saying it's May 21st,
2014
or something.
Yeah. You know, any day.
Okay. So, whether you get all of this tonight or not, here's the main thought, okay? The beasts that are spoken of in this first vision. One of the beasts is probably best understood as the land beast. Judaism. Jerusalem. Okay? This beast is going to fall. God is going to win the victory over this harlot work or nation. He did in AD 70 in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. All right. For those who have asked me, it looks very, you know, if y'all don't throw a shoe and get too bent out of shape, after next Sunday, I'll be ready for y'all to have 2 weeks to get your questions ready.